Hi, I'm Grace DeMorgan, and if you love wine, then welcome to Flavor Country. After writing my book, Everything Happens for a Riesling, I still had a lot of questions about wine. So I thought I'd get to know each wine personally over a glass of themselves. It was weird, much like my recent interview with Pinot Noir.
Sure.
Welcome, Pinot Noir.
Hi.
Hey.
Just before we start, I requested very specifically 400 blue M&Ms.
Oh, we got you, I think there's at least 300 in
there. Yeah, that's not what I asked.
Okay. Do you want me to go get?
Yes, but I understand the circumstance. And it's, just know the kind of professionalism I'm dealing with is, you know, about three quarters. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
okay. I'm really sorry, but yeah.
I appreciate the apology.
I'm happy to get more after if that's
cool. Yeah, as soon as we finish.
Okay.
100 blue M&Ms would be great.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, so first up, thank you so much for coming in. Such a big fan of your work. You know, some of your wine is the most delicate, aromatic, and elegant like I've ever had. And I know you grew up in Burgundy, right? Burgundy, France.
Yeah. I mean, from an early age, but then I moved and traveled a lot, sticking mainly the colder climates.
Yeah, so Germany, I think Oregon, right, in the US?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like, Tasmania, particularly.
Yeah. Okay.
Central Victoria, which is kind of the Tasmania of the mainland.
Yep, and New Zealand, right, as we're drinking here, this beautiful, some of your best work here.
Oh, well.
From Martinborough.
I've got great length, I've always said.
Good for you. I've noticed it's got quite a strong spice to it, and it's a little bit, some would say, meaty.
Yeah, well, I mean,
median good length, some would say.
I mostly focus on the length that I offer.
You know? Very well.
Meaty length,
yeah. Indeed. So should I call you Pinot or Pinot Noir?
I actually get called, I prefer these days to go by Pinot Noir.
Oh,
which
Pinot
is, I've lost my French roots, obviously, and I've traveled the world. And like, you know, the thing about culture is that you learn culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you change depending on your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And so, Pinot is this throwback to an earlier time, but now I'm just Pinot Noir.
Okay, Pinot Noir.
Thank you.
So, it seems you've become quite a popular cult figure, thanks to your cameo in films like Sideways.
Paul Giamatti, good friend of mine now.
Oh, really? Yeah. We may just even play that clip now.
That's a good moment.
You know?
Why are you so into Pinot? I mean, it's like a thing with you.
I don't know. It's a hard grape to grow, as you know, right? It's thin-skinned, temperamental, ripens early. It's, you know, it's not a survivor like Cabernet, which can just grow anywhere and thrive even when it's neglected. Nah, Pinot needs constant care and attention.
I'm also a big fan of his more jovial works, such as Lady in the Water and 12 Years a Slave.
Jovial.
Mentions me much less in those films, which is interesting.
Yeah,
but,
funny though.
No, I guess it's just a thing that happens. Hollywood, you know, the editing process would have really... I'm sure, like, it seemed, obviously, the subtext of those films are mostly based on Pinot Noirs or Pinot Noirs.
How do you feel about that portrayal?
Well, it's a very interesting take on the whole aspect. To hear someone, you know, read you really gets to you sometimes, you know? Mm. Feels like you can feel that he understands the cracks and molds of my heart, which is, I appreciate it, obviously. Mm. It does give a very particular insight into something, but doesn't necessarily...
Do you want a tissue?
It's because there's only 300 M&Ms, not four. Then I'm not prepared.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. You are very thin-skinned.
It's cool.
He did have some beautiful insights about you. The thin-skinned aspect of you. The needing particular.
Yeah,
climates.
I mean that's just all conjecture, isn't it?
Oh well, okay. Well, what about the idea that someone really needs to take care of you? Who is that person for you? Who nurtures Pinot Noir?
Oh, one day.
Someone.
One day.
A beautiful person will find you, take care of your heart.
Can I go to the bathroom? Is that all right? Just gotta.
I'm sorry.
Just give me one.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All right. We'll take a break.
Just...
Claire de Lune. Just, there's no one looking after Pinot Noir.
Welcome back, Pino.
Oh, sorry about that. Allergies. Allergies.
All right, so let's talk about your family then. Right
sure,
into it.
Sure.
So we met your big sister Gamay the other week, and she's a pretty bright and punchy lady.
She in town. She hasn't called. Interesting.
So you guys aren't close?
Just we just have a problem. Like, she's just the golden child, you know? And mm-hmm. I think she's... She's still got the accent. I don't get that. Like,
yeah.
It just proves that some of us have explored the world and developed over time and obviously have, you know, found our groove and shape. And she's really playing up these kind of traditional kind of aspects. And it's just a bit contrived, I've always found.
Interesting. Her wanting to stay in Beaujolais is...
It's a confusing decision because, I mean, that's obviously where...
It's not where you grew up, but...
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, I...
Your family dynamics are very confusing.
Look, she's always been the golden child, hasn't she?
She's got a cool French accent. She's got her own festival.
That's my real problem.
One day a year.
You know, it's just proof that she hasn't really had time to explore the world. Because, you know, you travel somewhere for 3 months, obviously you pick up the accent. She just never left France, it sounds.
Yeah. But she's still, you know, she's pretty rad.
Yeah, well, she got into, you know, she's got the job, you know. Living parents always supported her.
Yeah, right.
You know, what did I get? Nothing?
Worldwide
bit
fame.
Of nothing.
Okay.
Thanks, Mum. And Dad just stood there.
So, both Gamay and you are quite famous. What celebrity siblings do you most relate to yourself?
Well, I'd say we're more of a kind of a Thor and Loki kind of pairing. But often in the tabloids, we get compared more to the Daddos and the Baldwins. I think we're more of a Daddo kind of vibe. And, well, I guess I'm more of a Cameron then, aren't I?
Cameron than an Andrew?
Yeah. I guess one's...
Really? Interesting.
Okay. Well, Andrew definitely... Had his time in Round the Twist, yeah. Obviously. But, you know, I think these days, he's the real prolific
one.
So
you're like the Danny to the Kylie Minogue.
Well, she had a great clothesline, didn't she? Not a clothesline, but a fashion...
You're like the Jake Gyllenhaal to the Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Right, they're very different career... And,
you're,
you know,
like
in
the James Franco to the Dave Franco.
Oh, I'm a big fan of his movie
You're
reviews.
Like the Elizabeth Olsen to the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Give off more of a Lindsay Lohan vibe. From,
you're like the Chloe or Courtney to the Kim Kardashian.
I'm definitely more of a Kim.
You're the Solange figure. To the Beyonce. Yeah,
well, she's...
The puppet, I mean, to the Cara.
Okay. But
the Kate to the Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara?
The Ashley to the Jessica Simpson.
Okay, no, I just think that that's an unfair... Look, I just...
Moving on. And what about this other iconic mention you had in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Let's begin.
Making a music video. It's called Pinot Noir, an ode to black penis.
Classic. Action.
Pinot! Mid-sized car. You don't have to be popular. Find out who your true friends are. Pinot Noir. In the boudoir.
In the boudoir.
Then what's the voicemail? Call it again. Call it again.
Pinot Noir. Smoke a cigar. Revenge can be spectacular. Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir.
My real problem with that song is that he rhymes mid-sized car with popular. That's a forced rhyme, isn't it? It's not really naturally occurring. Also, Roseanne Barr has two R's in it, which is spelt very differently to popular and car. And I'm just like, I don't think he was aware of those inconsistencies in the writing. On paper, it's just, obviously, it's absurd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not great.
Really ruined our reputation that I was sort of brewing there for a while.
Okay.
There.
Yeah. So it doesn't have, I guess, the elegance you're used to
Certainly not the length that I require, you know?
So you do mention length quite...
Yeah, my meaty length.
Your meaty length. Good gracious. Well, as a pop culture icon, I guess, what pop culture do you enjoy? Like, what TV show are you binging at the moment?
Oh, I'm a big fan of TV shows with the number 3 in them.
Okay.
So Three's Company.
Okay.
Great stuff. Two and a Half Men just was missing something for me, you know?
Like a 0.5?
Just, yeah, about half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
maybe the film Three's Company with Neve Campbell? Is that also a...
Yeah, any movie with a love triangle in it. But once it's anything more than that, it's obviously... I just can't relate.
A square does get messy,
doesn't make any
it?
Sense.
And what music do you like to listen to, Pien?
Oh, obviously I've got my classical roots, such mm-hmm. as the French house composer from the 80s, Alexander Robotnik. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after that, I'm still hooked on songs from the 90s that have nylon string guitar solos in it. So Don't Speak by No Doubt, mm-hmm. Truly Madly Deeply by Savage Garden, Tony Braxton's Unbreak My Heart, you know... Obviously classics.
The classics. Okay, great.
Anything outside of those three songs? Not interested.
Not interested. Wow, you have a very particular taste.
I just really like my classical guitar solos in pop music from the 90s. I don't know what's specific about that, though.
Moving on. Who do you follow on Instagram?
Well, I've always said that Instagram is the pinot noir of all social media platforms. So in many ways, people follow me and my various accounts.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of when it's just boomerang images of candles that are flickering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite a niche you've got there.
Well, particular, but good length.
So, what's up with people putting... how did you pronounce it again? Pinot? Pinot?
Pinot Noir. Noir.
Noir.
Noir.
Sorry. So, what's up with people putting Pinot Noir in big bowl-like glasses?
Well, the big bowl-like glass, it has to be full of personality and takes up the entire thing. And it's all about, scent. The best allegory I can think of, a shark can smell a small amount of blood in quite a large sort of surface area. But and most people...
We're not sharks.
Are not sharks.
Interesting.
As far as the allegory goes, is also very directly represented in real life as they're not being sharks. However, in an elevator, most people are humans. And if there is a smell that takes up a small confined space, but the whole of the small confined space, such as a man who has gone for a run and has never had a shower, the aromas really take over. So you want to fill whatever canister you have to be full of that aroma. It has to really pack that one in. And really, I've always said wine, it's not about taste at all. It's about the smell. And I am the sweaty man who's never gone for a shower, but constantly goes for runs.
So elegant. So delicate.
Mm.
So Pinot Noir.
So Pinot Noir.
Indeed. Now, I've heard it said that you can be a pretty sensitive dude.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Oh.
Just wouldn't say that.
Which part of the sentence? The pretty or sensitive or dude?
Yeah, as a collection of terminology there, I don't think I correspond to that at all. And I think I'm actually quite offended by the notion.
Let me unpack that a bit. I feel like you're sensitive in the sense that you only grow in very, very particular climates.
I mean, but who doesn't though, right?
Well,
I think that's pretty...
That's incorrect. Cabernet kind of grows anywhere.
Oh, but he's a...
Susceptible to every single mold, fungus, and vine disease known to man. Wouldn't you say that makes you a little bit delicate?
I guess it depends on your definition of delicate there.
I would say if someone's susceptible to every disease, fungus, and mold known to man, they're pretty delicate.
These sound like very pointed comments, and, you know, I just feel like first you screw up the M&Ms, you pronounce my name wrong multiple times, now you're starting to talk about Cabernet like he's all that, and he's not. He's just not, you know? And me, that's just... It's just...
And some just, say... You're very early ripening.
Okay, that is the
early ripening. Early. Oh wait. And I guess that was Pinot Noir.
It's Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir. Today's episode stars Tom Hogan as Pinot Noir and me, Grace De Morgan, as some version of myself. Sound by Jimmy Murray. Music by Tom Hogan. Produced by Annika Kim, Jimmy Murray, and me, Grace De Morgan. Subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast feed. You'll find the book, Everything Happens for a Riesling, at most bookstores or order it from Booktopia today. Check us out on Facebook at Everything Happens for a Riesling, or follow me on Twitter at Wine and Onesie, and on Insta at Wine and Onesie. Cheers.